On Philosophy Empty today, we're donning our crowns and delving into the complex world of states, monarchies, and heads of state. Join us on this regal exploration. Part 1, Coronation Day, A Tale of Two Londons. London awakens to a dawn unlike others. It's the day of coronation, the day when Charles, heir to the British throne for 70 years, finally receives the crown of king as King Charles III. Westminster Abbey, a symbol of British history, stands resolute. Its Gothic spires reach into the clear sky, casting long, solemn shadows over the city. This is the site where monarchs have been crowned for centuries, from William the Conqueror to Queen Elizabeth II. The Abbey's ancient stones have witnessed the evolving narrative of monarchy, a concept that links the personal to the political, the individual to the nation. Today, they will witness yet another coronation. The streets around the Abbey bristle with festivity. Union Jacks flutter in the breeze. There's cheer, there's pomp, there's a multitude of people, all gathered to partake in a ritual that seems to some as old as time itself. But not everyone is feeling jovial. There are protests, placards, and chants, signs reading "Not my king," bob in dissent. Over the loudspeaker set up in Trafalgar Square, boos can be heard over the chants of "God save the king." Here are those who question the very institution of monarchy, who see it as a relic of a bygone era, a symbol of inequality and unearned privilege. This is the other London, the one that challenges, provokes, and demands change. Similar protests occur in other cities in Britain and in the rest of the Commonwealth, of which Charles is now king. The monarchy, for better or worse, has always been a beacon for such debates. It's a symbol of power, tradition, and stability, but also a trigger for discussions about democracy, representation, and fairness. To understand this paradox, we're going to look into the intricate weave of history, politics, and philosophy that underpins the very concept of monarchy. Part 2. The symbolic head, embodying a nation. A head of state stands at the pinnacle of political hierarchy, but what does this role truly represent? To understand, we must delve into the symbolism attached to such a position. In essence, a head of state is more than just a political leader. They become a living symbol, a personification of the state they represent. Their persona and their actions encapsulate national identity, unity, and continuity. They are the face of the nation, both domestically and internationally. Consider Queen Elizabeth II. For over six decades, she had been Britain's unifying figure. Her image, be it on stamps, coins, or in history books, became synonymous with the UK. Such longevity in public life engenders a sense of continuity. It's a thread that links the Britain of post-World War II to the Britain of today. A head of state thus becomes a touchstone for national memory. Unity, too, is embodied by the head of state. In times of national crisis or celebration, they are the rallying point. They provide a sense of collective identity, a singular figure that a diverse population can look towards. They are the us in us and them, an important aspect in forming a collective consciousness. This symbolic role has its roots in history. Monarchs, for example, were once seen as divine or semi-divine figures. They were the earthly representatives of God, appointed to maintain order and justice. This bestowed upon them a unique status, elevating them above common humans. Over time, this divine right theory lost its hold, but the symbolic power of the head of state persisted. The monarch evolved from a divine figure to a national figure. They retained their unique status, but it was now rooted in national rather than divine identity. Critics, however, question this symbolic role. They argue it is outdated and irrelevant in a modern democracy. Yet the persistence of monarchies and other forms of symbolic heads of state suggests a deep-seated human desire for such representation. Whether one views the head of state as an embodiment of national unity and continuity or as an outdated symbol, the fact remains. This role, steeped in history and loaded with symbolism, continues to hold significance in the intricate dance of politics and power. The symbolic head persists, mirroring the society it stands for, reflecting its hopes, its fears, and its identity. Part 3. Evolving crowns. The changing role of monarchy. Monarchy is old, ancient even, but it is far from static. Over centuries, the institution has adapted, evolved, and transformed. It has continuously recalibrated its position within the wider societal and political landscape. In the earliest monarchies, the king wielded absolute power. He was lawmaker, judge, and executor. His word was law, his authority unchallenged. This was the era of absolute monarchy, where the king's power was seen as derived directly from the divine. Think Louis XIV of France, the Sun King, who famously declared, "I am the state." But times change, and so did monarchies. The Age of Enlightenment in the 17th and the 18th centuries challenged the idea of absolute monarchy. Philosophers argued for the separation of powers and the concept of popular sovereignty. The monarch was no longer the state, the people were. As a result, monarchs' power began to wane. They transitioned from rulers to figureheads, from active participants in governance to symbolic heads of state. Britain offers a prime example. The Magna Carta of 1215 was an early sign of this shift. It limited the king's powers and established the principle of rule of law. Fast forward to the 21st century, and the British monarch's role is largely ceremonial. The Queen doesn't make laws. Parliament does. Yet, the figure of the monarch remains an integral part of the nation's identity. Modern monarchs, particularly in democratic societies, have a delicate balance to maintain. They're expected to embody the nation and its values, to provide a sense of continuity and stability. At the same time, they must adapt to changing social norms and expectations. They must reinvent themselves without losing the essence of their role. King Carl XVI Gustav of Sweden presents a case in point. He ascended the throne in 1973. 2 years later, Sweden became a parliamentary democracy and his role was drastically reduced. Despite the changes, he continues to be a unifying figure, representing Sweden on the global stage. The evolving role of monarchy reflects the broader changes in society. It mirrors shifting power dynamics and changing societal values. Yet, amidst these changes, the institution has shown a remarkable ability to survive and adapt. Today, monarchies exist in various forms across the globe, from absolute monarchies like Saudi Arabia to constitutional ones like Spain. Monarchies have come a long way from the days of divine right and absolute power, yet they remain a significant part of the political landscape, morphing and adapting just as they have for centuries. Whether they continue to do so in the future is a question that remains to be seen. Part 4. Philosophical musings, questioning the throne. Every institution faces scrutiny. Monarchy is no exception. Philosophical perspectives on the role of the head of state vary widely. Some see value in the continuity it provides. Others question its relevance in a democratic society. Take Thomas Hobbes, a 17th century English philosopher. He advocated for a strong, undivided government. For him, monarchy was the best form of such a government. Hobbes believed that a single, absolute ruler was necessary to prevent societal collapse into chaos and conflict. His philosophy is an example of a pro-monarchy state. John Locke, Hobbes's contemporary, had a different view. While he did not explicitly reject monarchy, he championed the idea of government by consent. For Locke, any form of government, monarchy included, was only legitimate if it had the consent of the governed. His ideas influenced democratic thought, challenging the idea of divine right of kings. Fast forward to the 19th century. Karl Marx, the father of communism, was staunchly anti-monarchy. He saw it as a part of the class system that perpetuated inequality. For Marx, a monarchy was not just undemocratic. It was exploitative. It was a system to be overthrown, not upheld. These philosophical perspectives highlight the complexity of the issue. The question of monarchy is not just about power and politics. It's also about democracy, representation, and fairness. However, the debate doesn't stop at monarchy. It extends to the very idea of nations and nationalism. Critics question the need for a single, unified national identity. They argue that such identities are often artificially constructed and can exclude minorities. In this view, the head of state as a symbol of national identity becomes a tool of exclusion. Yet, there are counterarguments. Proponents of nationalism argue that a shared national identity can foster solidarity. It can provide a sense of belonging and community. The head of state, in this view, is a unifying figure. They can represent common values and aspirations, helping to bind diverse individuals into a single nation. The dialogue around heads of state is a complex one. It spans centuries and crosses disciplines. It encompasses issues of power, democracy, representation, and identity. And it shows no signs of resolution. The monarchy and the role of the head of state more broadly will likely continue to provoke debate and reflection for years to come. It's a testament to the enduring relevance of these roles and the complexities they embody. Part 5. The Monarchy Paradox. Tradition and Modernity. Monarchy presents a paradox. It's a cornerstone of tradition, yet it exists in the modern world. It's a symbol of continuity, yet it constantly adapts to changing times. It's a vestige of a bygone era, yet it remains relevant today. This paradox lies at the heart of the monarchy's endurance and its challenges. Monarchy, as an institution, thrives on tradition. The rituals, the ceremonies, the pomp and circumstance, these elements give it an aura of timelessness. They connect the present to the past, offering a sense of continuity. In a world that changes rapidly, this continuity can be comforting. It can provide a sense of stability, a rock to cling to in a sea of change. Yet, a monarchy cannot exist in a vacuum. It operates within the broader societal context. As societies evolve, so must the monarchy. It must balance the preservation of tradition with the need to stay relevant. This balancing act is a challenging one. Consider the monarchy's role within democracy. Here, the monarch must navigate a delicate path. They must remain politically neutral, yet represent the nation. They must embody the history and tradition of the country, yet reflect its contemporary values. They must be a symbol of unity, yet respect the diversity within the nation. An example of this adaptation is the role of women in monarchies. Historically, most monarchies practiced male preference primogeniture, which favored male heirs. Today, many monarchies, including the British monarchy, have amended their laws to allow equal rights of succession to female heirs. This change is an example of how monarchies can adapt to reflect modern values of gender equality. The monarchy also faces scrutiny from its critics. These critics argue that in a democratic society, a hereditary head of state is an anachronism. They see it as a symbol of inequality and unearned privilege. They question the very idea of a monarchy in a society that values meritocracy. Yet, despite these criticisms, monarchies persist. They exist in countries across the globe, from the constitutional monarchy of Japan to the absolute monarchy of Swaziland. They continue to command respect and loyalty from many of their subjects. This persistence suggests that for many, the monarchy offers something valuable. The paradox of monarchy, then, lies in its ability to embody tradition and modernity. It is an institution that bridges the past and the present, that balances continuity with change. It's a symbol of national identity that adapts to reflect societal evolution. This paradox is the monarchy's challenge and its strength. It is what makes it a subject of enduring fascination and debate. Part 6. Looking forward. The monarchy in the modern world. The monarchy persists amidst shifting social landscapes and democratic principles. It stands. Its endurance prompts a question: what does the future hold for this age-old institution? Change is inevitable. It's the only constant. Monarchies, like all institutions, must adapt or risk obsolescence. The challenges are many. Public scrutiny, democratic values, economic pressures all exert force on the traditional structure of monarchy. The debate about the monarchy's role in a democratic society is ongoing. Critics argue that a hereditary head of state is incompatible with democratic principles. They question the monarchy's cost, its privilege, its relevance. These voices are loud, and they're growing louder. Yet, there's another side to the debate. Supporters of monarchy point to its stability, its continuity, its unifying role. They value the non-political, symbolic head of state. They argue that the monarchy, with its deep roots and historic ties, provides a sense of national identity. They believe the monarchy can adapt and evolve just as it has throughout history. The role of the media is another factor in the monarchy's future. In an era of 24/7 news and social media, monarchs are under constant scrutiny. Their actions, their words, their lifestyle, all are subject to public analysis and criticism. this scrutiny can be a double-edged sword. On one hand, it brings transparency, holding monarchs accountable. On the other, it can magnify scandals, damaging the monarchy's reputation. Modern monarchies must navigate this media landscape. They must balance privacy with public expectations. They must maintain dignity and decorum while appearing relatable and human. This is no easy task. Looking ahead, one thing is clear. The monarchy must continue to evolve. It must reflect the values and aspirations of the society it represents. It must retain its symbolic power while respecting democratic principles. The future of monarchy is a story still being written. Its plot is uncertain, its ending unknown. As observers, we can only watch, analyze, and speculate. For those interested in delving deeper into this topic, consider reading The English Monarchy, A Guide to Its Growth and Symbolism by William M. Kuhn. For a critical view, The End of the Monarchy by Tom Nairn is an enlightening read. And for a broader perspective, The Rise and Fall of Monarchies by Edelgard Mundt offers an international outlook. As the tale of King Charles III's coronation day illustrates, the monarchy is more than just an institution. It's a living, breathing entity, steeped in tradition yet existing in the modern world. It's a testament to the past, a participant in the present, and a question mark over the future. As such, it will continue to provoke thought, spark debate, and command attention. Thanks for tuning in to Philosophy MT. Remember to hit that subscribe button for more philosophical explorations. Don't forget to visit the website philosophymt.com and our YouTube channel for more content. Till next time.